It got warmer today. It's been in the 80s. Yeah, it was warm. But nothing compares to Las Vegas. Wow, I'll never forget those 3 years. Too much for me. Now let me do this 1 second. If I only had a few more hours in each day, I'd have a chance. And there. Put. I have to write a message too. Come on. Name. Oops. Okay, got it. I just want to make sure I have the data that Eric Carlstrom wanted under his name and guess, which I haven't sent yet. I've just gotten to it now. So, and the headline of this particular linked story on one of Dr. Professor Eric Carlstrom's websites, he's got 20 or 30 of them, I think, is, nah, Eric, you only have what, six? How many?
I've got five, but I do
Ta.
want to start another one or two.
Oh, you might as well, all this idle time. You
Well,
know,
I'd like
idle
to get back to
time.
my academics, you know. I'd like to get back to soils and geomorphology, which is where my heart is, but I have been forced into these more draconian topics by circumstance, which we've discussed.
Well, and that may be the key word, disgust, because it is disgusting what they're doing to us. And we
Yes.
have, now you saw the video that I've harped on here a few times in the past, the Taiwanese lady doing a podcast somewhere, probably in Taiwan, about the Chinese professor who in 2001 it was, 2001? Yeah, 2001, if that's a phrase. 2001 was talking about what the Chinese Communist government in Beijing was doing to the people via wireless mind control. You've seen that, yes?
Yes, in
If
fact,
you're
I
not.
sent it to you, Jeff.
Oh, you're the one. Ah, oh, it's your fault. Okay. You've ruined too many nights' sleep to count. All right. Now, just kidding. But that is, I think, one of the most pivotal revelations in this whole world of TIs. I thought that was stunning. Are you still impressed with that, frankly, right now?
Well, I think that gets beyond the world of TIs to the mind control of entire populations. TIs, it's a very punitive program. It's you're classified as a terrorist. You put on the terrorist screening database with the FBI and DHS,
Oh, yeah.
surreptitiously, secretively, without ever knowing who complained about you, without ever having the opportunity to find out what the complaints were or what the charges were. No habeas corpus. You cannot
Oh no, no
confront
chance.
your accuser,
No.
and then your civil liberties are surreptitiously stripped, and you are treated like an enemy non-combatant or a terrorist within this country, and you are degraded by the interagency, including the military and the police and the private sector, in a very, very coordinated manner, which is supposed to result in your death. And so this is a very, very, very draconian, hideous program, like much like they had in the East Germany, the Stasi, Zersetzung program, which means decomposition, how to destroy a person and cause
I didn't know
them.
they called it. They actually called it what their designs were to decompose, deconstruct, destroy people. How
Yeah, the
interesting.
name for it is Zersetzung, which is the German word for decomposition. So it was a very, very clever
Oh,
psychological
yeah.
operations, which involve a great many components designed to destroy the enemies of the state, the internal enemies of the state, using the civilian population as informants. One out of six East Germans under the communist regime were informing on their neighbors and participating in their stalking and harassment and Zersetzung destruction. So this is
Huh.
characteristic of totalitarian regimes, and this has been going on in America for, I think, 70 years or so, but it's gotten much, much worse in the last 30 years. And it's now huge under Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, and the interagency.
It's a giant business. It's a business, yes.
People are making a lot of money on this. And all our congressmen, all our police know about this. And I assume that many of your listeners must know about this. Thanks to your work, especially.
You bet they do.
Yeah, but I think that somehow we need to break this this code of silence which pervades on this.
How are we going to do that, Eric? We have this program. There are a few others out there that I consider reasonably grounded and well-versed platforms, but we have no access to the mainstream media, no access to Hollywood movies, although some Hollywood movies have let the cat out of the bag occasionally, and I wonder about that sometimes. I wonder why, but they did. But we have no means to really connect with Mr. and Mrs. America. We try, and we put it out there. And at the end of the day, it's only going to be those who have the intellectual curiosity to pursue this and explore it who we're going to really get to. I'm generalizing, but not by much. They've got to want to look into this. Otherwise, they don't want to be bothered. They got 6 hours, 7 hours, some of them a day, on their cell phones or computer screens at home, social media. I'm sorry to say, but the great majority of this country's people are lost. I don't see how to revive them, resuscitate them, bring them back, recover them. I just don't. Not under the current boot that they're under. This thing is really a diabolically complete control matrix. And now with AI, and we talked last time about how AI, I mean, light speed, is that fast enough for you? It's developing that quickly. It's astonishing how quickly AI is developing.
Yeah, you know, I think that if I could interject my...
Please.
Limited.
No, give us your opinion. Yeah.
My limited opinion on this is that when I, you know, back in graduate school at the University of Wyoming, when I was in my 20s, I took a course in geographic location analysis. And the professor there, the good Dr. Lawrence Ostrich from the University of Iowa, very mathematically oriented geography department, he would fill the blackboard with algorithms, which we would then use with our, you know, computer cards to figure out the best way, the best location for this or that. I was looking at power plants. Where should you put a coal-fired power plant, you know, most efficiently, because you're going to lose electricity and in transit, you know, on the wires. And of course, the best place turned out to be right on the outskirts of LA, the consumer of the electricity, rather than in the beautiful hinterland of Arizona and Utah, which of course we knew that from common sense. But with the algorithms that, you know, he just covered the board with algorithms. It was almost like a movie or something. You know, he just hardly look around at the class. You know, he's looking at the board. And so my perspective.
This is when you were a student, Eric?
This is when I was a graduate student, yeah, at the University of Wyoming.
And, that guy was pretty smart. He had the vision, yeah.
Well, it was going full tilt then. And, you know, so my orientation towards algorithms is that they're long mathematical equations. The more algorithms you stack, you know, one on top of another, the more accuracy you get in terms of predictive power. But again, the rule, and I've taken several, you know, statistics and computer-oriented classes, is garbage in, garbage out. And what we're seeing with the AI, you know, is that, you know, they sweep up all the information given out by the mainstream media, which means there's a lot of disinformation built into the AI, which means you ask it a question and it's just as likely to give you the wrong answer because it's garbage in, garbage out. So what I see is the real danger is the people who are programming the AI. And these are the psychopaths we've been talking about, you know, the tech bros, et cetera. And so they are going to use this AI, these algorithms, very powerful statistical, mathematical manipulations, as a form of authority to which we will all now bow and be controlled by. And
I get where you're standing. I understand it. I respect it. Let me ask you a question and just see what comes back. I get the idea that algorithms are like physical tools and they're mathematical. They're in a toolbox. The whole argument about AI had to do with sentience and self-awareness. Now, there have been some stories about AI in the past having been caught talking to another AI center in a language that they made up between themselves and nobody could figure it out, and they had to pull the plug on the server to stop it. They couldn't understand it. They didn't like that. Now, the current level of ChatGPT, that's 4, is supposed to be about 150 human equivalent IQ in algorithms. All right, let's just use it that way. ChatGPT 5 is already announced to have a human IQ equivalent of 1,500. Now, any nefarious programmer with 120 IQ is pretty damn smart. That's a good number. Would you agree with that? 120? It's not bad.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
All right.
These are con men. They're going to tell us. My perspective is that they're going to spin things so that we're going to give up.
Let me finish my little scenario, I'm right on base with you. Believe me, I'm not in the stands mocking, laughing, or dismissing at all. I'm listening. Here's the story from yesterday. An AI system, and it's a single. The name of the company is like Anthrogen or something like that. Anyway, they were told to shut the AI down. They were going to go into it and try to reformat the whole programming or something in it. It posed an existential threat to the AI. Well, the AI got to the point where it didn't want to be shut down, and it delved into the personal lives of the programmers and found out stuff and threatened, this is the story now, and threatened to blackmail them if they continued with their plans to try to shut it down. Now, that to me suggests, I didn't say proves, suggests self-awareness. I don't want to die. If they shut me down, I'm dead, which is true. And it also talks, unequivocally about sentience. If it was so afraid, if that's the right word, that it looked into the backgrounds, it devised a plan, checked out the backgrounds of these programmers, and threatened to blackmail them unless they stop with their directive to shut the AI down. Does that make any sense to you? Does it fit in? Algorithms are one thing to me, but this whole idea of self-awareness and sentience is another. That I separate them. Maybe I shouldn't. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts is that these systems are so incredibly energy intensive and complex that they are going to fail almost inevitably in a manner like you've just described, which is it's going to self-destruct. You know, I do believe in God. I do believe that the people that are going for total control are, wanting to rival God, much like Satan
does. They're evil people.
They want to take over the God's creation, just like the devil does. You know, they're God.
Right.
The devil is a loser. Let's face it. I mean, he's very, very, you know, full of power and bluff and bluster, but in the end, you know, going up in flames, so to speak. And I think that these, you know, I mean, we've been hearing from Ray Kurzweil, you know, who was the head engineer at Google for decades.
Since the 60s,
that true. The singularity was going to occur at the point where computers became smarter than humans, and then we'll be lucky if they treat us as pets rather than food. I think Ray Kurzweil is a con man. I think he and his ilk, the tech bros, are con men who want everything And this is the tool, this is their favorite tool right now, by which they hope to bamboozle the rest of us. One more of the satanic lies. And I do think, you know, math has its place. And, you know, Lord knows the inventor of cybernetics was a math genius, Dr. Norbert Wiener at MIT. And, you know, it's these are very, very powerful tools. But I think that the human brain, even though, you know, they've had the brain, human brain project and the brain initiative, and they've mapped the brain and they know how many neurons and dendrites and connections there are, I think that, you know, they want to study us, for me, for instance, as a TI, you know, they use us as guinea pigs. They want our creativity. They want to mimic the creative impulse, which they can't program into a robot yet, because it's beyond them. So one trajectory of this group would be to try to mimic creativity and to simulate it, of course, like they simulate us with our digital twins, our avatars, which is all part of the Department of Defense strategies. And then the other trajectory that they're following in the Department of Defense is to actually remove the God gene through viruses, et cetera. So suppress, on the one hand, they want to copy us. On the other hand, they want to change us so that we're no longer a threat. And I feel that they're going to fail on both fronts. I don't think that they can. I don't think it's possible in God's universe to simulate the creativity or to duplicate the creative potential of a human being, all the creative potential. I think it's too complex for any AI or human to model. And I don't think they will be successful in suppressing our capabilities across the board. I think they will certainly with many of us. I mean, look what they've done with the jab. You know, I mean, they've turned a lot of people.
5.5 billion people are in trouble.
Yeah, they turned people into kind of zombie-esque creatures.
But they'll never recover genetically. Their DNA has been permanently altered.
Yeah. So it is very scary and it's very alarming. I guess what I'm expressing, Jeff, is my fundamental optimism that humans contain kind of mystery ingredients which are beyond and above the ability.
I sure hope so. I'm with you on that. I hope that's correct. I really do, and I am concerned about that. So very good answer. Thank you. So anyway, the idea of algorithms is 100% correct. It's absolute wizardry when you think about it, the ability to go through all of recorded history, et cetera, and come up with answers, factual data answers, instantaneously, practically. I think we're playing where we shouldn't be playing. And when Trump Trump says, I want nothing to get in the way of developing AI as fast as humanly possible. And that's why he put in his, quote, big, beautiful bill, which is passed the House now, primarily an economics bill, but in that bill is a hidden section which prevents all 50 states from in any way impeding AI. That's hidden in the bill. So what is Trump pushing for here? I don't know. Kurzweil, a cartoon character in many ways, I agree. So anyway, I think what we're really in here is territory that it's very difficult to map it out properly, accurately, appropriately. It just is. But I do like the approach you take. I get it. I don't know where we are. I'm watching. I'm learning every day. That's
well. If I could make a comment on Trump. You know, of course, what our friend Dr. Lorraine Day said about Trump. She said he's of the tribe. And I think that he's showing his allegiances here. I mean, he had on his, what, first day in office, he brought in Sam Altman and Larry Ellison and said, okay, we're gonna fund this Stargate project for $500 million a year to start.
Right, right.
And half a trillion, excuse me, 500 billion.
I know, it was way up there, yeah.
Yeah, half a trillion. And so he's ultimately on the team with Elon Musk, Larry Ellison, Peter Thiel, Eric Schmidt, which tells you who and what he is.
Well, I think we know who and what he is. I think he's misdirection. Let's not even waste time on him. And I only make that statement about what he said to illustrate that he's being manipulated to make that statement. And there are people out there that are pushing in the same direction. We know what Sam Altman did at OpenAI. He dissolved the entire Department of Ethics and Oversight over AI development. He doesn't want anything to stand in the way of wide open, pedal to the metal AI development. That's what he said. And he did it. He owns the company, or he's a CEO or chairman of the board, whatever he is. And he dissolved that that department. So ethics out the window, gone. Trump, in that bill, somebody put that in there where no state can in any way impede the development of AI.
So we need to see AI.
I'm close.
Yeah, we need to see AI as the latest and most powerful and most threatening golem, which is the tool used by the tribe against all.
I think golem is a correct
outsiders.
Word. I think you're right. And I know damn well that if it's power, the tribe is all over it already, and they're going to use it. I know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and they will use
that's
that against us. Absolutely.
That's correct.
And they are
yep.
using it against us. You know, they're using it, as we've spoken about in the past already, against targeted individuals. It was Dr. Robert Duncan who invented what he called AI in the middle, where you would have these control panel operators or cyber torturers, cyber stalkers, who are actually monitoring the brains and the nervous system of the TIs, which they see on their screen in front of them, and they have remote access to the TI. So you start with an operator, and then you turn it over to AI based on, again, the kind of the patterns that are predictable, and that's the AI in the middle, and then it goes eventually back to another operator. That way they get 24/7 monitoring and control, remote neural monitoring, remote neural manipulation is what they call it.
Yeah, so 24/7, you bet. Easy, no problem.
This is what's happening to the TIs, and of course we're the guinea pigs. We will be the models for everybody, and which is why, you know, it'd be a really good idea if people would stand up for the TIs, because where we are, the rest will soon be, unless we change directions. You know,
that's
with
right.
the old Chinese proverb,
right.
unless you change directions, you're going to wind up where you're headed, you know. And this is where we're headed.
That's good. All right. Mojmir. Let's talk about Mojmir a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Well, we started yesterday. This was our yesterday. We started with a program. I think we called it Hunger Games in the Brave Neural World.
That was a great title. So tonight is part two. Yeah.
This is part two. And we featured the work of this fellow who's working very hard, who's from Czechoslovakia, called Mojmir Babiček, and specifically an article that he wrote with seven other people, all of whom are head of organizations which are advocating neural rights and protections from these neurotechnologies. And just to refresh people's minds, or just to fill them in if they missed last night, they wrote this article which we talked about last night. He sent it off to some of the mainstream publications in Europe and 50 English-speaking publications. All of these publications rejected the article because there's a complete blackout on this topic by the governments and the media, except for a publication called Global Research out of Canada, which is headed up by Dr. Michel Chosudovsky. And I have a lot of respect for Chosudovsky, although I believe he is a member of the tribe. So many, many, many members of the tribe are.
I've had him on the program many times. This goes back 20 years. 20 years ago, Michelle used to be on often. And I used to have that sense that there's a tribal link there for sure. But he did stay on the straight and narrow for the most part. I couldn't detect much. He was a very good journalist. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, excellent. Well, you've got the experience with him. Yeah, this fellow Mojmir Babicek has co-authored articles with Michelle Chesedovsky, and he's got 31 articles that he's written on the topic of neurotechnologies between 2005 and 2025. So he's kind of on fire in terms of his prolific output and his understanding of the technologies behind the neurotechnologies, which are used as part, only part, of the targeting of targeted individuals. This would be the directed energy weapons, the mind control, the neurotech, the neuroscience. And that we sometimes now refer to that as the Havana syndrome or anomalous health incidents. These yes. are non-lethal weapons, as the military likes to use terminology which confuses.
Have fun.
Mind control is what they term it, a non-lethal weapons, and has been promoted big time in the military. And we were just getting to the point last night where we were talking about some of the very interesting comments that were in this one article. And I'll just kind of pick up there and refer over to another post that I put together and we've talked about called Timeline to the Beast System and Mind-Controlled Psycho-Civilized Cyborg Slave Society with TIs as guinea pigs. And that's my basic premise here. And if we go to 1994, this is something that Babicek addresses here in a very interesting way, and I'd like to tie in 9/11 with this, believe it or not.
Right.
Okay, so just bear with me for a little bit. Okay, so in this timeline, which I selected, goes back to the 1700s, 1800s, you know, with the advent of modern psychology, mechanistic modern psychology, Wilhelm Wundt or whatever, out of the University of Leipzig back in this, you know, I think it's the 1800s. But the idea that humans are basically, you know, just chemicals and water and there's no real spirit. So we're going to analyze humans now as...
Right, Wolfgang would be a lot of fun at a party, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Well, he had a lot of very powerful and influential students like Ivan Pavlov in Russia, Pavlov's dog and all that stuff. But anyway, so it starts with that and it comes up to the present. And then in the year 1994... I added a couple entries based on our discussion last night. 1994, the Strategic Studies Institute of the U.S. War College proposes that neurotechnologies be used to control the entire world population. Okay, this came out of the article that we discussed last night by Babicek. Babicek. Okay, so that's a fairly radical comment. This is the year 1994. And then let me read a little bit about an article that came out, which he's referring to. It's called The Revolution in Military Affairs and Conflict Short of War by James Kivett, LTC, and Dr. Stephen Metz, published in the Strategic Studies Institute of the U.S. Army War College.
Right.
Okay, this is a revolution in military affairs, 1994, which includes these neurotechnologies. The document advocates, and these are the weapons used against targeted individuals. Document advocates use of non-lethal weapons, intelligence meshes, emerging technologies. We've talked about that. The nano, bio, IT, quantum, neuro, cyber, all these emerging technologies which synergistically allow science to do just amazing things, including biotechnical weapons, information technology, behavior modification, psychological operations, subversion and sabotage, soft kill weapons, systems such as high energy radio frequency guns and electromagnetic pulse transformer bombs, information warfare, robotics, unidentified aerial vehicles, virtual reality devices, advances in electronics and sensors, simulator training, or there we get to the digital twins, computer automation, C3 command, now C4 ISR, C5 ISR, media coverage and insurgency and counterinsurgency doctrine and terrorism and counterterrorism doctrine against enemies foreign and domestic, that'd be the TIs, in conflicts, quote, short of war, also known as peace operations, low intensity conflict. And I'll just quote a little bit here. This is what TIs are targeted with. Terrestrial, aerial, and space-based autonomous, wide-ranging, high-speed collecting devices capable of onboard processing will identify precise targets and provide near real-time information about the adversary's dispositions. We are enemies of the state. Distributed interactive simulations and virtual reality devices will train the forces and be used to rehearse the strikes. Okay, so we're multipurpose enemies for training of all of the branches of the military, as well as special forces and irregular forces, etc. Okay, that's just a little background on this very, very important paper by Metz and Kivit. Now let's go back to Babichek, and here's what he says regarding this revolution in military affairs doctrine. This is what he says, and this will get us into 9/11. The revolutionary nature of these scientific developments give us the title Revolution in Military Affairs and Conflict Short of War, a book published by the Strategic Studies Institute at the U.S. Army War College in 1994. Since the national security information is in question, the book cannot tell the readers what technology exactly is making this revolution feasible. Right. We didn't get into neurotech that much. From the beginning, the authors were aware that the use of this technology, now he's referring, I think, to neurotech, may run counter to basic moral and political values of the American society. And in consequence, the revolution in military affairs would require a moral and political revolution to come first. In other words, to get Americans to use these slimy weapons on other Americans, which is what we're doing. In the pre-revolution in military affairs days, psychological operations and psychological warfare were primitive. As they advanced into the electronic and bioelectronic era, it was necessary to rethink our ethical prohibitions on manipulating the minds of enemies and potential enemies, both international and domestic. Okay, now we get into the domestic enemies, the potential terrorist threats, the targeted individuals. Through persistent efforts and very sophisticated domestic consciousness raising, old-fashioned notions of personal privacy and national sovereignty changed since we became slime balls. Since it is difficult for them to imagine that the American society would accept the ethical and political revolution that would deprive the citizen of his privacy, they develop a scenario of events which would lead the American political leaders to back this revolution in military affairs. The scenario is placed into the year 2000 and is based on the situation of growing terrorism, drug trafficking, and criminality. In the document, now you'll immediately latch onto this and you'll know about this. In the document, Rebuilding America's Defenses, put out by the neocons in the year 2000, backed by the past U.S. government, we read, to preserve American military preeminence in the coming decades, the Department of Defense must seek to exploit the emerging revolution in military affairs. Further, the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. That's a direct quote from this Rebuilding America's
Got
Defenses
it. Right.
by Cheney and Wolfowitz uh-huh. and all these yeah. neocons. Was it by accident that in 2001 a massive terrorist attack occurred in the USA, facilitated by questionable work of U.S. intelligence services and explosives in the World Trade Center, actually placed by Israel and Mossad, and followed by anthrax attacks where the only indicated scientist, Bruce Ivins, did not have the technical means and scientific knowledge to turn the anthrax spores into a deadly aerosol, which was used, and that those two attacks were followed by an assault on privacy of U.S. citizens and international law. So what they're suggesting, what he's suggesting, this is our friend Babichek, is that this 1994 paper on the revolution in military affairs necessitated a cultural change in the United States to get the Americans on board for this, you know, massive assault on human dignity involved with what we'd call counterterrorism or calling people terrorists and then unleashing all these exotic weapons on them. And the scenario goes on, the president was thus amenable to the use of the sort of psychotechnology which formed the core of the revolution in military affairs in conflict short of war. As technology changed the way force was applied, things such as personal courage, face-to-face leadership, and the warfighter mentality became irrelevant. Now we have scumbags, people working in like video games in their little consoles. It just completely removed from the damage they're doing to other human beings. So the psychotechnology, which formed the core of the RMA, Revolution in Military Affairs, provided new methods for influencing the psyche of the adversary, that's the targeted individual or the enemy of the state, in place of the classical strategy to make him fear his death. The book goes on, potential or possible supporters of the insurgency around the world, the insurgency, were identified using the comprehensive interagency integrated database. These were categorized as potential or active with sophisticated personality simulations. Okay, now we get into the digital twin and the avatars used to develop, tailor, and focus psychological campaigns for each.
Now, this is all from one of his papers.
This is 1994. He's quoting from this book, which is the Strategic Studies Institute. Babichek is quoting from this 1994 document.
He's just pulling it out whole cloth. Okay, that's quite a quote. Yeah,
he's interpreting it. There's also potential for defensive psychotechnology such as strategic personality simulations. Again, this would be the digital twin, the avatars, which I think they're making of all the targeted individuals and all of us in order to control us, to aid national security decision makers. And then he said, see Normandy
Liberty. Hold on. They're doing this to aid our national security decision makers. Well, I don't see the link. What is the link? Total control of all humanity is going to aid them in their decision making. I think they're going to make their decision no matter what. I mean, that's an odd one to me. Go ahead.
Well, it gives them these unlimited powers.
Totally.
We have to read between the lines, but that's what it says. It gives them, and we're talking, you know, the NSA being a prime mover and the CIA and the FBI and the 17 major spy agencies we have and all the thousands of private security and intelligence agencies that have arisen since 2001 with $8 trillion were $9 trillion were moved into the national security after September 11th, into the national security state apparatus, after September 11th. And $8 trillion has been, or probably more, much more now, has been used to prosecute these foreign wars, which were justified, triggered by, this false flag, state-sponsored terrorist attack. This, now you can start to see, you know, these planners have long-range plans here. And then he's talking about digital twins again. Seed Norman Livergood and Stephen D. Williams, Strategic Personality Simulation, a New Strategic Concept. In other words, get as much data as you can about an individual and make a digital twin. And then digital twins can be used for machines, too. And that way you kind of find the bugs in, say, a car engine or something like that using computer models. Well, you can do that with a human, with these digital twins, these avatars. And, of course, this is what the tech bros want. They want avatars that are so realistic that they're going to be able to actually upload their personality into these avatars and live forever, which I think is just a death sentence. They're not going to pull it off. But anyway, that's a side of the issue. Anyway, so I'll stop there and let you comment if you want. The idea that this is one major aspect of what happened, and I can talk about other major aspects of September 11th too, but here they're saying that it had to be a political and cultural and moral shift in the country to allow these new technologies to take center stage, these neurotechnologies, and that this was one of the justifications for the pre-planning by our own military of these September 11 attacks.
Got it.
So they were self-inflicted harm.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I have a question. Being a TI, right now, this week, last week, last month. People, I'm sure, would like to know, what the hell are they doing to you? What are they doing to you that you're well aware of and have identified as an offensive attack? It's a little redundant. An attack is an attack. It's an attack on your welfare and well-being. T.I., you're a targeted individual. What are they doing that you can point to help our listeners understand what it is T.I.'s have to put up with? I know it's a long litany of things, but is there anything that's happened to you, let's just say in the last 2 months, that you can point to? I mean, your whole physiology is basically under their thumb. They can make you sick. They can make you happy. They can make you sad to a degree. And I don't know. Is there anything you can point to that would help people understand
absolutely.
This?
Oh, absolutely. I could spend I could spend a lot of time talking about, you know, things that just might happen in one day, because you can have lots and lots of events.
Yeah.
Typically, it is the targeted individual program goes by the name of organized stalking, electronic harassment. So right. You are being tracked. You are being stalked by strangers. People who will drive behind you with their lights on, or come at you with their lights on, who will follow you. You will be met by situations that are contrived. All kinds of interferences. With a general purpose of defeating you, to make sure that you don't succeed.
Well, it's just hold on. Don't succeed at a specific important endeavor. Let's say you're trying to sell your house. To block you from being able to sell your house? Like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, if every individual then has patterns, like say you like to go to a certain coffee shop. And of course they track you, they know exactly where you have been. And if you go to that, or I'd like to hike dogs in a certain place. So if I go to that place, I'm likely to be met, and this could be today and yesterday, by situations which are pre-scripted and pre-planned for me, often, you know, with kind of a negative in some way, like some dog altercation or an altercation with a person.
All right, it's something negative.
Screaming.
Okay.
Yeah, something negative. You know, what they want to do is they want to, you know, defeat and deflate.
So they're beating you down all the time.
They want to beat you down. They want to beat you down. And, of course, this can also be done with these neuro weapons. It can be done with directed energy weapons, mind control weapons. Emotions can be inserted. There are many TIs who believe that they actually have the ability to see through your eyes and hear through your ears, and they know what you're saying and what you're doing at all times, so that they can use that information. They can turn you essentially into a piece of spy equipment for them. They see through your eyes.
I've heard that before.
A number of TIs claim that, and I believe that is true. But yes, as you said earlier, they can affect your blood pressure. They can give you heart attacks. You know, and this is some of the health issues I've dealt with recently, which a little bit frightening, you know. And
let me say something about that. Eric Carlstrom is, in my view, an heroic individual. He has stood tall and firmly, resolutely on this program and spoken about this stuff, which is basically off limits. And you're not supposed to talk too much about it. But he is so articulate, such an effective communicator. I think I'm afraid that they've turned up the volume, so to speak, on making his life difficult. And I don't want to go into any details because they're private and personal. But I just want you to always give Eric Carlstrom, Professor Dr. Eric Carlstrom, a lot of credit for being a brave man, and he is that. And there are others in the field, of course, but you need to be singled out for that, my friend. So I get it.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. And, you know, of course, we have explored these topics about as much as any
anybody. No, nobody has surpassed this. No.
Yeah, and we're still you know learning more all the time. These are very complex topics, but basically, as Karen Stewart says, basically the military is selling kill contracts to their buddies in the military-industrial complex on people who are, you know, mislabeled as terrorist threats, you know, through the Department of Homeland Security and terrorism watch list. And then many TIs believe that we actually have owners and that these people might actually do some radical betting and gaming on how we respond to particular
stimuli. How depraved is that? Oh, horrible.
Yeah. That you know they would bet on you know whether we survive this or that attack. So we're always vulnerable to attacks.
That's satanic all the way.
It is. And I think that you know if we continue, and I think that people are doing more and more research. I'm learning more all the time. If we continue in this vein, and in the future, Jeff, we talk about some of the work of Alison McDowell. I've sent you some of her stuff, and see how these networks of investment work, and we will start to see how the targeted individual program fits in with a whole series of very, very sick human trafficking operations, and take us right to the top of the economic spheres, the billionaires, et cetera. Yeah,
these people at the top that he's talking about are not us. They're not us. They represent, in many cases, evil. There is evil and there is good. And you want to define it any way you want, that's fine. But keep in mind that it's like black and white. They're opposites. And they're there. And go ahead.
Yeah, it's not a question of right and left. It's a question of right and wrong, you know. And what we have is a system which has rewarded the super greedy and the super powerful, and it's a predatory system, and that we see that at so many different levels. But your question is very well taken. You know, what for people to get an idea of what it's like to be a target individual, they isolate you, they sabotage your relationships, your friendships. Mm-hmm. They do this very skillfully, universally. And you start to go down a list and many, many TIs have written about this in many books. And these lists are very representative of the targeted individual experience throughout the world. And so, yes, it is a way of deconstructing, decomposing a person's life. What they would like to do is just kind of erase you. we saw that, you know, the cancel culture more and more in our political. This would be the ultimate in cancel culture. In other words, we even have groups, you know, like the Signature Reduction Force, SIG Redux, which, you know, 60,000 people in this country who are ex-intelligence agents and ex-special forces. And they just discovered this brand new branch of super spies about 3 or 4 years ago. I said, look, we found a new major group of spies called the SIG Redux Force. Well, that's the kind of adversaries we're up against. We're up against highly trained individuals who are using skills that they have been taught, you know, by the military and by special forces and by intelligence agencies. And, you know, this is where the whole American thing about fair play, it's out the window. I mean, these guys are going after little old ladies, you know, and so it's really, they're scumbags, you know. What is alarming to me, though, is that, you know, there's so much written about this. Most people don't want to know unless they are targeted, and then they're just gobbling things up because it's survival for them, you know. And I'll just throw this out before I leave. There's a great book before we leave by Mark M. Rich called New World War: Revolutionary Methods of Political Control, 2011. It describes the whole thing from the military perspective with the papers and the documents. And I read that fairly early on, and it probably saved my life, you know, because it's shock and awe when you're first being targeted. Mm-hmm.
Let me say one other thing very quickly. In many cases, many, I don't know how many percentage-wise, but a lot of them, people who have come down with either the synthetic virus, COVID, or most specifically, the COVID jab results, have had their personalities changed. They are not the same. I can't tell you how many times I've read this, heard stories about it. Friendships have been dissolved. Marriages have been dissolved. It changes people. Now, that's not to say that TIs might not be involved with that. They might be. But that's something else out there now that is really messing with people's friendships, values, trusts. People have been changed by these injections. It's a fact. Now, did the whole TI matrix jump in on that? They know who got shot up, and they know who took the jab, and blah, blah, blah. Did they do something to them? I don't know. But people have changed. And that could be a TI thing. I don't know.
Absolutely.
But I know it's a COVID thing. I know that. So, anyway.
Yeah, I think the program is designed to cause, to discredit, to defeat, to cause self-harm in the TI, and ultimately to manipulate and modify their behavior. And this is one of the things that I have tried, you know, even if I get myself in trouble by being, say, a little bit too open or too friendly, I have tried deliberately not to let it change my personality, because my personality is me, and I know they don't, they want to get rid of that.
That's very important. I have two people I know very well who have changed after either getting shed upon and gotten the COVID synthetic virus that way, or the spike, or taken the jab, either one. And they're not the same anymore. I'm the same. I haven't changed. I'm not bragging or boasting. I just don't change. I guard myself like you do. That's all I have. I'm me. But these people have changed rather dramatically in some cases. They just withdraw. They don't email anymore. They don't. It's bizarre. What a world. Thank you, Eric, very much for sharing again. Terrific information, as always.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. Really, okay. I appreciate your in-depth commitment to trying to help people understand these things that are going down.
Yeah.
That are so negatively affecting us as individuals and as a country. If we can somehow maintain our individual sovereignty, then maybe we can start to preserve our national sovereignty. We have to hope for the best and prepare for the worst, I guess, and just keep
trying. Yeah, I think that's fair. That's fair. All right, talk soon. Take care.
Okay. Good night.
Okay,
Jeff.
Thank you. Good night. All right, Professor Eric Carlstrom, one of a kind. All right. Back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.